much of our show so far has been about savings, but let me tell you another way of saving that some of us may not think about. Certainly I didn't, and right now I'm in debt up to my eyeballs because I've paid for three of my children's college educations, terms of big money that we spent sending them to schools of their choice. What probably could have saved me a lot of money, and if I had just been more, more diligent about deciding these things, I could have sent them to colleges in the neighborhood or in the area called community colleges, where they could have started, for instance. But, you know, everybody wants to go to the big schools, and the big schools have cost a lot of money. One of the schools that I am thinking about this morning is a nearby school to where I live called Chesapeake College. You have a college near you, what's called a community college. And these schools are headed by dynamic educators. Chesapeake College, which is across the bridge into the Eastern Shore, is headed by President Barbara A. Vinier. She is, well, I won't even get into her resume, which is pages long, but we know her for her work over there, and we know her for the school that she's running. Her leadership experience is just unqualified. It's wonderful. And she is concerned, as she has a right to be, about obtaining funding and making sure that these colleges get their fair share. She joins us now from I think she's in Annapolis, where she's dealing with the politicians to make them aware of the importance of the college. Welcome to the program, Barbara. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
If I ask you to tell me your biggest problem today, facing the college, what is it?
Well, I think you're expecting me to say money, and I probably would, because there are so many demands on us, and we have students who need lots of extra help to succeed in college and get a good job, and all of the things that they need take resources. And what we've seen over the last several years is a decline in public support. And then we end up just passing more of the burden along to students. So finding the resources is my number one challenge.
And finding the colleges, because they're there, can soon be the challenge of young people who are looking for an alternative to the state colleges or the Ivy League schools or wherever our ego thinks we want to go. I submit you can get just as good an education at a community college as you can at any of the major colleges or bigger colleges. Is that a fair statement?
I think you can get better. So that's the president of a community college speaking. But the reason for that is what you will find at a community college is much smaller classes and teachers whose number one job is teaching. And so they're not there to write and they're not there to do research. They are there because they love to teach. And our students are often very surprised when they leave the community college and they go to a big public university or even an Ivy League, and they're in a room with 300 students, and they need binoculars to see the professor, and you don't find that at a community college. The curriculum is the same. So if you're planning to transfer, you are following the same curriculum and taking the same general education, whether it's English, math, history, political science, social science. You're taking the same courses, and you are fully qualified to transfer.
And let's talk about the dollar difference. I can tell you how much it cost me to send my son to, in this case, Franklin and Marshall. It was $56,000 a year. Do you have such a dollar figure?
You would have to go to Chesapeake College for many, many, many years to spend that kind of money. The tuition and fees alone at a community college are between $3,000 and $4,000. Add books. You can go to a community college for $5,000 a year. And then, of course, you're living at home, so you were still going to have to feed him. And maybe pay for the gas in his car. But the cost, there is no comparison. And that's why so many people do choose community colleges for their first 2 years, because of the savings. And in the end, if your son had gone to Chesapeake for 2 years and then to Franklin and Marshall, he still has a Franklin and Marshall degree. We hope he would remember where he started, and we're counting on our alumni to support us. But in the end, you get that degree that you wanted. So there's no difference in the end between you and the student who went to Franklin and Marshall for all 4 years.
I know the answer, but I want you to say, what drives us then to decide that we're going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars, in my case for Paul, Now, fortunately, he did have a scholarship. He was one of my children didn't, one did not. But still, at the end of the day, it was $200,000 plus. What drives us to do that when we could walk down the? Is it really about ego? Is it really about prestige? What is it that drives us to these colleges that are charging so much more than a friendly community college?
Well, Paul, I think it's a variety of things. Now, for some students, it's having the residential experience, and there are actually community colleges that have dorms and can provide that for students. We don't, but I think for some students, they are ready to go away. They want that independence. They want the whole package that they think of as college. They want football teams.
Yeah.
We have a lot of athletic teams, but not football. And for some, I think it's a lack of knowledge. They just don't know that the community college can provide them the same quality education. And so they assume that only a four-year college can lead them toward a pre-law or pre-med or the job of their choice. And that's just not true.
I know that you were in Annapolis recently to talk about this. What's the purpose of your meetings in Annapolis?
I've been in Annapolis every day, and each day is a variation on a theme, which is basically to say we can't do everything Maryland needs us to do, and I think you would find this replicated in every state. Mm-hmm. We can't meet everything our local economy, our regional economy, our state economy needs if we don't have the adequate resources. And what we're ending up doing is, as I said before, passing that burden along to students, and then the students who need it most can't come. And that's kind of a waste of opportunity, certainly for them, but also for us.
Barbara, we're talking with, obviously she is Dr. Vigne, Barbara Vigne, who is head of the college here, but we want to break it down so that you feel comfortable in listening to a human being who happens to be the leadership of a college, the leader of a college, talking to you about this particular school. Two questions come to mind. Are there enough people that want to go to school? And how many schools are out there? When we come back, we'll ask Barbara to answer those questions and how you can reach out. If you're a parent, you may want to start, think about this. Let's start here, honey, and then we'll go to the big school. Why not? We'll talk about some of those issues. And then we'll ask Al, who's our engineer, who also teaches at one of the schools, to join us in terms of his experience. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back. My guest, Dr. Barbara Vigne, who is president of Chesapeake College on the Eastern Shore. She's here talking about the choice that you have to go to college. She's also talking about the possibilities of tuition-free at some point. Why do we charge people to get an education, those who deserve it? I'm also talking with Al Peterson, who's my engineer here, and I face him every week as we do the show, but he's also a professor, a teacher at a local college. What college do you teach at?
It's Montgomery College in Rockville, Maryland.
And you've been there for how long?
14 years.
14 mm-hmm. years.
As adjunct faculty.
Yeah. What about young people? Do you find that they are as exciting about being, you think, in a community college as they would be at Maryland State or one of the other larger colleges?
It's mixed. I know a lot of them will pipe out of that school and then head to some of the larger ones. Once they've qualified, they've got some of the some of the elective things out of the way, some of the courses, and especially in the core, what they want to be able to study. Like I teach radio and television production. And the ones that are there are enthusiastic about it, and they'll jump to a school which is, properly equipped with just huge amounts of equipment, huge curriculum. And from the outset, they know it's going to be a slow, rough start, and they're just thrilled to be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't get often probably a chance to talk to the president of the university there at the college.
Never have.
But you have here. There she is. Any questions for any questions for Barbara?
Can I have a raise?
Hey, Barbara.
I will pass that along to your president.
Yeah, then Barbara.
Time to update the resume then, I guess.
Yeah, we talk about why we pass up the colleges and go, to the big schools and pay the money. But you're also interested in why do we have to pay for college at all, aren't you?
Well, I'm particularly interested in making community colleges tuition-free because we've talked, Paul, about choices. So your children chose to go to big colleges with very high tuition bills. But there are people at the lower end of the spectrum, people who are in the bottom 25%, and they don't have a lot of choices, and they're not choosing to go to a community college, not because they're going to Franklin and Marshall, but because they can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And even though there are financial aid programs like Pell, those programs have lost value over the last 20 years, 40 years. And so we're not tapping the potential of a whole segment of our population who could be filling the hundreds of thousands of job vacancies because they just don't see a pathway to college. And if we made it free, we would allow those people to come to school and then either transfer or go directly into the workplace.
How do you make it free? In our system, how do you make something free like this? I agree with you. I think it ought to be. I can't imagine why we're graduating kids out of colleges with huge debt every year to get an education, to get something that's going to benefit the nation. I don't get that.
Well, and remember, I said tuition free because, of course, it's not free. It means that there needs to be a considerable public investment. And in Maryland, for example, that would probably be between $60 and $70 million just in year one, and then you'd have to double that. But if you look at it as a combination of federal and state resources, and sometimes even local resources, because there are examples of cities and counties that have these kinds of programs, it's an investment. And then when students leave those colleges, they earn more, they spend more, and they pay higher taxes. And so the return on investment we looked at in Maryland was going to be 8.2%. And if you can get that kind of money anywhere else, let me know. That's a great return on investment. And in Maryland, for example, 92% of the students stay in Maryland. So Maryland invests and Maryland gets back. And there is a cost. It's an upfront cost, but the recovery is phenomenal. And I'd also say that it's ongoing because when you educate one person, their children are more likely to think of college in their future, their children. And we see that over and over again. So you're changing one life and a family life and then ultimately a community and a larger area. And that's, you can't even put a value on that.
Absolutely not. And Alan and Barbara, I don't know the number of colleges. Do either of you know how many community colleges we have just in the state of Maryland? I don't.
16. There are 16 in Maryland.
16 colleges. Well, you know, look, they're out there, and if they want more information about your college, how do they reach out to Chesapeake?
Oh, they could certainly go to our website, which is www.chesapeake.edu.
I know you got a lot of work to do, Barbara. I thank you for stopping for a moment to take time to join us here on Home and Family Finance. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And Al, thank you for tuning in there with a little real-life experience.
Oh, you got it.
All right. This is Home and Family Finance. We're here every week. We hope you'll join us. We talk about things that affect you, and we'll do that next week at the same time. Have a great week.